This is Jim Metzer, your host on Authentic News, right here on RBN Live. This is the 16th day of May, 2024. More on the shooting of the pro-Trump conservative Slovakian prime minister, who it appears is going to survive. He was against the Ukraine war and against the World Health Organization pandemic treaty. Very good for him. Courageous guy. He seemed to have been shot for it. There are various photographs we have from the Gateway Pundit of what's taking place. Stu Peters has put up a short video taken immediately after some of the reports. The Prime Minister of Slovakia, Robert Fico, has just been shot in public. This comes only days after Fico formally and publicly rejected the WHO Global Pandemic Accord. Photos of him after Fico was appointed Prime Minister of Slovakia immediately ended military aid to Ukraine. So there we have two prime suspects. Stu Peters put up a clip about the shooting with the heading, "Who just attempted an assassination?" For my money, I think more likely Ukraine.
Okay.
Now here's a report from antiwar.com about it. Slovak Prime Minister Robert Fico expected to survive after shooting. Slovakia's Prime Minister Robert Fico was shot multiple times Wednesday in an assassination attempt after a government meeting in the central city of Hendova. He's in grave condition, but is expected to survive, according to his deputy prime minister. I guess in the end, he will survive, deputy prime minister Thomas Taraba told the BBC. He's not in a life-threatening situation at this moment. Fico is 59 years old, was shot while greeting a crowd. Interior Minister Matas Sutok Istok said a 71-year-old man was detained for the shooting, and that initial investigation found a clear political motivation. Precisely what that clear political motivation may have been, however, is not specified. Meanwhile, my dear friend and colleague Scott Bennett has offered his assessment that it bears a remarkable similarity to the Kennedy assassinations, resembling the next phase of the NATO war against Russia, which is diplomatic war against its diplomatic enemies, contrary to amateur analytic 71-year-old assassin is a perfect assassin for this kind of operation. They are ideologically prejudiced based on their history. This is used when targeting individuals who are incapable of change or mental political adaptation or easy to emotionally explode. Another suspicious factor that resembles a Kennedy assassination is a Slovakian Secret Service tactic of space and openness around the prime minister. Same thing that happened when JFK was shot and the Secret Service slowed down the car to allow him to be hit. What Scott does not know, but I and my colleagues have established, is that in fact, the Secret Service brought the limousine to a complete halt. It wasn't just a slowing. It was a complete halt. Larry Rivera was instrumental in exposing all of this, where he transcribed the Newcomb tapes that have been conducted in interviews conducted in 1971 with all four of the motorcycle escort officers and their supervisor, Stavisellis, who confirmed the limousine had been brought to a complete halt, that Officer Hargis on the left rear parked his bike, run between the two vehicles, impossible if they were in motion, up to the grassy knoll, that Officer Douglas Jackson also motored his bike up the grassy knoll until it fell over and then proceeded on foot, and the belief that was the origin of the shots. Meanwhile, five Secret Service agents disembarked from the Secret Service Cadillac, surrounded the presidential. One took a little piece of skull from a little boy and threw it in the back seat, which I believe would turn out to be the Harper fragment, this triangular chunk of skull that came from the back of JFK's head. And this is our latest discovery about the Zapruder film. One of the agents actually climbed into the back of the limousine. Now, heretofore, I'd assume that the limo stop only took a few seconds, but it was a few seconds during which Jack was hit three times in the head. He was hit in the back of the head. He slumped forward. Jack eased him back up, looking him right in the face. Was hit in the right temple and side of the head virtually simultaneously. The right temple shot fired from the intersection of the triple underpass and the picket fence, where there was an above-ground sewer opening, perfect. The other from the curbside sewer opening, even better yet, where their combined impact blew his brains apart and a big chunk out the back of his head, which impacted Officer Hargis so hard he initially thought he himself had been shot. You want to find more about this in Larry Rivera's work about the motorcycle stop, the JFK Horseman, available on Amazon and at Moon Rock Books. This is good stuff. We'll have to see, since they have the suspect in question, what turns out to be the alleged political motivation. But Scott really is offering a third over and beyond WHO and Ukraine, namely NATO itself. And many will recall historically, World War I was preceded by a series of assassinations, the most famous or well-known of which was of Archduke Ferdinand. Meanwhile, making Nero proud, Blinken rocks out in Kiev as Kharkov burns. This is from Zero Hedge. Anthony Blinken decided that at the very moment things are at their most dire point for Ukraine's struggling armed forces in Kharkov, amid the new major Russian cross-border offensive, he should put on a concert featuring himself at a bar in Kiev. It has resulted in near universal revilement, even among some of Ukraine's staunchest supporters. Here's a tweet about it. Blinken sheds a suit to rock out at Kiev's barman dictate Rikizi Bar. Some might not see this as a great look, considering the current situation, the number of people dying and fleeing, just a short train ride east as Russia intensifies its offensive against Ukraine. I don't know if we actually can hear him play, but there's a tweet here. Very embarrassing, very bad moment. Meanwhile, I find this highly disturbing. Al Jazeera reporting, U.S. expands production of 15-ton bombs to target nuclear facilities. These bombs are designed to penetrate deeply buried nuclear facilities believed to exist in the Democratic People's Republic of Korea and in Iran. I don't like either target. Bad idea. What do they report? The U.S. plans to expand the production of 30,000-pound bombs designed to deeply penetrate buried nuclear facilities believed to exist in DPRK and Iran, as reported by Bloomberg on Tuesday. The expansion initiative will take place at the McAllister Army Ammunition Plant, situated in southeastern Oklahoma. The expansion aims to significantly ramp up the monthly production of the Matthews Ordnance Penetrator bombs, also referred to as bunker penetrators. These colossal munitions are exclusively deployable from B-2-style bombers. That is, in my opinion, a very bad sign. Meanwhile, his report from MondoWise, The real reason Israel is invading Rafah. With 1.5 million trapped in Rafah, Israel is moving forward with its invasion with no clear goals. So far, Israel has been unable to wipe out the resistance in Gaza, so its only option is to massacre more Palestinians. As Israeli forces began entering the eastern edge of Rafah on May 6th in the southmost part of the Gaza Strip, over 100,000 Palestinians were fleeing to the Al-Masa area west of Khan Yunus, from which Israeli forces had withdrawn in March. Many of them were fleeing for the eighth or the ninth time since the beginning of the Israeli assault. Israeli officials are insisting on invading Rafah for months, despite mounting international pressure on Israel to stand down. Netanyahu has been pledging to invade Rafah for weeks. The invasion is crucial to achieve the stated goal, especially forcing Hamas, through military pressure, to make concessions. But as we know, Hamas agreed to a ceasefire, but the invasion is going on nevertheless. Meanwhile, we have a report again from Mondo Weiss. Why the Israeli army is invading northern Gaza for a second time. The Palestinian resistance factions have regrouped in northern Gaza, are launching an offensive against Israeli forces, hoping to disrupt the ongoing invasion of Rafah. Families carry their belongings and everything they own in small bags and leave in droves. In the background, behind them, is thick black smoke, while the sound of shelling, artillery, and intense gunfire never stops. What makes this scene different from all other stages of the genocidal war is it's happening in the town of Jabalia, in Jabalia refugee camp in northern Gaza, a place where Israel had declared at the start of the war Hamas military presence had been effectively eliminated. 5 months later, the Israeli army is going back and launching a large-scale military operation in northern Gaza. It's proceeding in tandem with the invasion of Rafah to the south, one crime to cover up another. Meanwhile, Phil Giraldi, how Washington protects Gaza. How Washington protects Gaza, on with our favorite Judge Napolitano.
On the government of the United States. But before we get there, just to address the hot news of the moment, the Prime Minister of Slovakia is the victim of an assassination attempt of just a few hours ago. He was apparently shot three times in the abdomen and is in a life-threatening situation, but is undergoing surgery at whatever is the best medical center available to him. President Biden, of course, has condemned it. A lot of people have condemned it. He is one of the few leaders in Europe refusing to provide aid to Ukraine and publicly, more or less, allied with President Putin of Russia. The alleged killer has supposedly told the police this was a political assassination, that the killer or the attempted killer is a member of the opposition party. As much as we know, and as you can digest, are you surprised by any of this?
Yeah, well, this is one of those situations where it gets a little, as you know, I did a trip down the Danube last year, and I was quite surprised at some of the conversations I had with Eastern Europeans. My mother is, in fact, a Slovak, and I inherited a lot of history of the region from her and from my grandmother as I was growing up. And it's very complicated because, of course, the Second World War was a memory that was very recent for people like them. And of course, they recall the Germans as being the attackers, the aggressors, the victimizers, and the Russians, of course, were to a certain extent perceived as their saviors. So there is a very mixed feeling towards Russia, Germany, and Eastern Europe within Eastern Europe. And so I believe this is a case, from what I've read, what I understand, where the Slovakian people, and certainly the ones I spoke to, were very mixed about how they viewed Russia and how they viewed Germany and how they viewed the whole situation. Some of them were very fond of Russia, and some of them really felt that Russia did them a bad favor by bringing in communism, under which they suffered for the next 40 plus years. So I'm not surprised at that. I think this is the passions are very close to the surface in terms of how the people and their representative parties see these situations developing. And so I'm not terribly surprised. It is kind of uncommon in Eastern Europe, at least in the last 20 years or so, to resort to violence, to resort to anything like an assassination. But again, I am not surprised that it would come to that, because certainly the Western media and the Russian media have been stirring up arguments from their two sides, and people get very passionate about it. Yeah, and government is into everything now.
Yeah, so the Department of Education can send a monitor, really a cop, into a grammar school, a high school, a college, a university, a law school, a medical school, a business school, without a warrant, to investigate whether or not there are anti-Semitic statements under this broad definition of anti-Semitism. And if he finds it, then bureaucrats can decide whether or not financial aid should be held back from the school. This is a direct violation of something called the Doctrine Against Unconstitutional Conditions, which the Supreme Court has reaffirmed many times. The government cannot condition the acceptance of a benefit, cash, on the non-assertion of a fundamental liberty, free speech, by the people receiving the cash. It's absolutely prohibited, to say nothing of the free speech aspects of it.
The real target of this is free speech.
Is the Jewish lobby in America, I guess this is a silly question because the answer is so obvious, against free speech?
Well, I think the evidence would have to be yes. I mean, they basically want this definition of anti-Semitism to become something as an implement to be able to charge people with hate crimes. And so that's part of it. And this story recently about TikTok. How did that come about? Well, TikTok has a lot of news coverage, not like the news coverage in the mainstream in the United States, that is highly critical of what Israel is doing in Gaza. And it was the head of the ADL, the Anti-Defamation League, Greenblatt, who was complaining publicly that something had to be done about TikTok, because TikTok was putting information out there that they didn't want to be put out there.
Exactly right. TikTok was putting out their information they didn't want put out there. Meanwhile, American officials, Zionist, pro-Israel mafia thugs. This is from Veterans Today. It has lately clearly revealed, without any doubt, successive American administrations, our most congressmen and senators are Zionist thugs.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Charles de Gaulle once said, actually, it's difficult to envision in this regard any other criterion, any other standard than gold. Yes, gold, which does not change in nature, which can be made into either bars, ingots, or coins, which has no nationality, and which is considered in all places and all times the immutable and fiduciary value par excellence. So when the question is, why gold? It's simple, my friends. The answer to that question is simply, why not? Like it or not, precious metals will always be the world's reserve currency. Even though nations do not define their currency by their worth in, say, gold, individuals still buy gold and silver to protect themselves from inflation. The more money a nation's central bank pours into the economy, the less valuable its currency, the dollar is, which means the price of everything else rises. $21 up for a bag of dog food. Seeing that the dollar is cheap, that's why the cost of everything goes up. It's because the buying power, the value of the dollar has tanked. It's worth nothing. And yet gold that your family would have owned in 1907 will buy at least the same amount of goods, if not far more. William McPhee once stated, it's extraordinary how many emotional storms one may weather in safety if one is ballasted with ever so little gold. The truth about money, gold versus cash in a crisis, gold, a valuable thing to store, the power of gold in times of crisis. Historical sketch of paper currency. Oh, and beware the ides of rare coin dealers. And Alan Greenspan's speech on gold and economic freedom. How interesting. I'm going to give you gold and silver in 5 easy lessons. Seeking out the most efficient and most secure route to owning gold and converting it into widely accepted currency is the next best thing to enjoying gold-backed currency, my friends. In a world of central bankers hell-bent on devaluing our savings, you need to own private gold standard. Contact me, Jeffrey Bennett at Kettle Moraine Limited, by calling our phone number at 602-799-8214. That's 602-799-8214.
Well, listen, we have this wonderful report. American officials, Zionist pro-mafia, pro-Israel mafia thugs, like Dr. Elias Aka. I like it. Listen, it's been lately clearly revealed, and without any doubt, that successive American administrations and most of the congressmen and senators are Zionist thugs, serving the interests of a foreign country, Israel, at the expense of America's interest, American economy, and American international status. Americans who are trying to preserve the free, just, and humane American spirit are being oppressed, persecuted, sanctioned, and punished by the same American lawmakers who are supposed to protect these values. America is increasingly turning into an international criminal dictatorship. It was not enough that President Biden keeps bragging that he is an ardent Zionist who will always support Israel because Israel is the best investment America has. There's no apology to be made for our support for Israel. It's the best $3 billion, now almost $4 billion investment we make. Were there not an Israel, the U.S. would have to invent an Israel to protect her interest in the region. Yet, after paying at least $300 billion of American tax money to Israel since its inception, up to March of 2023, America's not getting any valuable revenue from this investment that has cost Americans billions in tax dollars, has ruined America's reputation as a defender of freedom and champion of democracy, and is make America a full partner in Israeli genocidal crimes. Wonderful. Wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. Highly recommend. Meanwhile, here we have more. The Sabbatean Cult of Zion tightens its noose on America. The real power behind the USA has been rearing its monstrous head recently. In the Sabbatean Frankist or Rothschild Zionist cult, a satanic cult to its core. It has the power to pass laws in its favor, suppress student free speech, and many other things in the U.S. There's a video that goes with it. Meanwhile, AIPAC busted smuggling cash to pro-Israel candidates. That would be, I dare say, the least, the least of their offenses. Here we go.
Rare joint press conference where they leveled a charge against a third candidate. Take a listen to the local news coverage.
Moving on, we wanted to bring you an update now to a story we told you about last night, the heated three-way race for the 3rd Congressional District in Oregon. That's Earl Blumenauer's seat in Congress. Last week, two of the candidates, Sushila Jayapal and Eddie Morales, held a press conference accusing the other candidate, Maxine Dexter, of taking dark money washed through a super PAC called 314 Action. They claimed, without any evidence, that 314 Action could be a front for far-right donors looking to take them out of the race.
The candidate getting all that dark money support is Maxine Dexter, a state representative and local doctor. Now, at a debate, she was pressed by her opponent, Eddie Morales, to name the source of the funding. Take a listen.
I want to spend the last second of mine asking Maxine, will you look at the camera and tell 314 Action to disclose their donors before May 20th?
Do you want me to?
Yes, I mean, certainly answer the question.
It is absolutely, they are legally obligated to disclose
before
their...
Before May 20th, before the day before the election.
Eddie, you understand as well as I do.
This is a public forum. You can tell them in
this
public.
It is a public forum, and I believe in discussion and deliberation and not
Big Pharma
demands.
Funding you?
Absolutely not. I've never
How do you
taken...
Know?
Okay, I have to stop you yes. there, but I need to let Maxine yes. have a final word here. I will just say that this entire thing is frankly absurd. I have put my values on record. I have 4 years of voting records on progressive values. I have stood firm with people who have supported me and against people who have supported me. I took an oath of office, and I've taken an oath as a physician to keep people at the center and do no harm. My integrity is frankly being questioned here, which is absolutely offensive.
All right, well, we don't want to offend anybody. And of course, anybody accused of anything without evidence ought to have a chance to defend themselves. So let's take a closer look. And to be fair to our accusers, it did look off. Random state representatives don't generally find themselves on the winning end of millions of dollars of super PAC spending for no reason.
It goes on to lay it out here. An AIPAC has been busted. Meanwhile, Israel has astroturfed a Eurovision vote, but lost it anyway, the government admits. Israeli officials hyped their country's fifth place Eurovision finish as proof of quiet global grassroots support for their assault on Gaza. Give me a break. Grassroots support for genocide? Now they admit they manipulated the result through an international propaganda blitz, but they still lost.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Did you know the IRS publicly admits that income tax is collected by voluntary compliance? Get the information you need to help you avoid income tax with these five easy steps. All you have to do is go to avoidincometax.com to get your five easy steps on how to avoid the IRS income tax. Escape the IRS. Let avoidincometax.com help you. We guarantee our five easy steps or your money back. Go to avoidincometax.com.
Hey, do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the ones in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, or fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you'll see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Check us out at SusannahSecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S, Secret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S, Secret.com.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com. Or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home.
Email Tom at republicbroadcasting.org. T-O-M at republicbroadcasting.org.
Well, I got cut off on the sound, but I'm going to continue reporting in the expectation it's actually going out over the air. Biden has signed a Russian uranium ban, rather surprising in some ways. Axios, President Biden Monday signed a bipartisan bill banning import of Russian enriched uranium. The import, with waivers for companies continue bringing it in. Why it matters? The U.S. spends an estimated $4 billion per year on nuclear fuel from Russia. So the new law cuts off a key source of revenue for Putin's forces as they escalate a war on Ukraine and drive military spending to levels not seen in the Soviet Union in the mid-1980s. Frankly, this is ridiculous. The legislation could shake up the industry supplies, and initiating nuclear fuel supply programs will be crucial for the Biden admin to avoid industry disruptions and obstacles for the next generation of reactors. The measure, dubbed the Prohibiting Russian Uranium Imports Act, unlocks $2.7 billion in new funding for nuclear fuel supply programs for the Department of Energy. It effectively bans uranium imports from Russia, starting 90 days after its enactment, but allows reactor operators to continue importing until 2028 if they don't have another viable supplier. The Senate unanimously passed the bill last month. This new law reestablishes America's leadership in the nuclear sector. White House National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan said, it'll help secure our energy sector for generations to come. You got me baffled there. How could cutting off the importation of uranium from Russia benefit the American energy sector? That's just gobbledygook. Meanwhile, it's official. Trump accepts Biden's debate offer. Here's where and when. He's agreed to debate Biden on June 27th, that he received and accepted the invitation from CNN for the 27th. He continued, crooked Joe Biden is the worst president I've ever faced. He can't put two sentences together. No doubt about that. Here Biden calls out Trump and accepts Trump's challenge. This is a guy who read pause a few days ago after.
Give me 20 seconds. Sorry. Give me 20 okay. seconds.
Just you got it.
Any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's GORBN.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for...
Somebody help, not just anybody. You know, hey, James, I'm going to call you on my regular account. Here we go. I'm going to hang up on that one. Oh, you're recording. Never mind. We'll stay with that. All right, here we go.
Okay, thanks. Thanks, Mike. We never needed anybody's help in any way. Well, we seem to be back on the air. Biden has signed in a Russian uranium ban that is being touted as benefiting the American industry, but I can't imagine how cutting off a source, even if it's from Russia, is going to benefit the industry. That sounds like gobbledygook to me. Meanwhile, Trump has accepted Biden's debate offer. We know the first is going to be in June on CNN, and that Biden is also June 27th. On CNN. Meanwhile, Biden wants there to be no audience for the debate. It looks like he's going to get his preference. The worry, no doubt, that there might be hecklers, people who are protesting Gaza, the U.S. supplying weapons for mass murder. You'd think it would be a given that no American administration would do such a thing, but not so in this day and age. President Joe Biden's campaign demanded a ban on audiences during the proposed presidential debates with former President Trump. The demand appears designed to reduce the risk of any Biden protesters attending the event. Anti-Israel protesters, really, pro-Palestinian and anti-genocide, often appear at Biden's public events. In a letter to the Commission on Presidential Events, the Biden campaign said it was providing notice it would not participate in commission debates. The campaign said Biden would only participate in network debates, no doubt because they feel they can have greater control. Meanwhile, Trump suffers frustrating setback with latest New York appellate court ruling. Few people expected Donald Trump to receive a fair trial in the liberal enclave of Manhattan. But the antics of Judge Juan Marchion thus far in the flimsy hush money case have gone beyond even what some of his critics would have predicted. Most notably, Marchion imposed a restrictive gag order on the former president, thus severely limiting his ability to discuss the case as he attempts to campaign for a second term in the White House. The defense team pushed back against the ruling, but an appellate court has struck down their motion. According to The Hill, Does Merchant properly determine that petitioner's public statement poses a significant threat to the integrity of the testimony of witnesses and potential witnesses in this case as well? Read the decision from the 5-judge panel. So the gag order, which has been a significant source of discussion in the media, remains in place. Well, here's a very interesting speculation as to whether or not the Democrat convention is even going to take place from the gray zone.
I haven't seen that. I'm looking around right now. I put out a poll about a few days ago about whether people thought the convention would be held remotely, just like Biden's 2020 campaign and the inauguration of Biden was held behind basically like blast walls. But you know, there's a lot of activity going on to prevent the protesters from disrupting the convention. They haven't gotten permits. They've been blocked from getting permits to be anywhere near the convention. They're going to be in Hyde Park, which is 3 miles away from the arena where the convention will be held. I do know that like the Poor People's Campaign has a permit, possibly because of some error by the DNC's lawyers. They have a permit to march to the arena. So anyone can join that. So I feel like, you know, they're just going to bandwagon on that.
And there's the headline from Politico. Joe Biden's top advisors are worried the Democratic convention could erupt in protests. So they're pushing to move it semi-online. I mean, you know, George W. Bush didn't even do that during the Iraq War. Remember that massive march in 2004?
I was in it. Yeah.
Yeah. I was there too. Like they knew for a while that would be happening. They didn't try. I mean, I guess back then the internet wasn't as, you know, it wasn't as strong as it is now, but still, I mean, this is like, that's how afraid the Democrats are of their voters and their base.
That's exactly right. The Democrats are afraid of the American people. They may have to do their convention virtually so there can be no disruption. Meanwhile, 18 states have just dragged Biden into court in a historic lawsuit tackling his insane woke rule. Despite forcing a devastating November election, his administration continues to push extreme progressive policies. The latest appears to be an attempt to impose radical gender ideology onto businesses. Biden's White House is trying to reinterpret sexual harassment to include using the wrong pronoun for a transgender. God! Now 18 states are fighting back. From the Daily Wire on Monday, Tennessee Attorney General Jonathan Scarametti led a coalition of 18 states in filing a lawsuit against Equal Employment Opportunity Commission after it released new sexual harassment guidance extending the Title VII protection against sex-based discrimination to cover gender identity. This is just a linguistic atrocity. Meanwhile, the respectable right has discovered anti-white hostility. This is from Roger Devlin on Unz.com, talking about a whole host of cases, teachers, students who are engaging or encountering anti-white hostility. This includes a new book by Jeremy Carl entitled The Unprotected Class, How Anti-White Racism is Tearing America Apart. Mr. Carl rightly begins his analysis with civil rights law, the height of the anti-white regime. The Civil Rights Act of 1964 did much more than outlaw certain types of radical racial discrimination. It created an army of bureaucrats and lawyers to enforce the new rules. The intrusive powers of this bureaucracy were greatly extended by the Supreme Court's ruling in Griggs versus Duke Power Supply of 1971, a case implying the use of IQ and mechanical aptitude tests to assess employees for advancement. As the author notes, the record is clear that Congress, which enacted the 1964 Act, did not intend to interfere with employment tests, but that didn't matter. Blacks do not perform as well on IQ and other tests, and the court ruled this disparate impact by race is discrimination, even if there's no intent to discriminate. Well, what does that mean? You got to hire people who are less qualified because they're black over those who are more qualified but are white? I think that's exactly what it means. I mean, and of course, the damage to whites has become so discriminatory that if you're white, you're not even considered for jobs today. Domestic policy is back. Massey introduces the Interstate Milk Freedom Act. Although sometimes it may seem as though Congress is primarily concerned with how much foreign policy aid it can parcel out, there are occasional exceptions. Case in point, Representative Thomas Massey of Kentucky, who may be the most noble member of the entire House of Representatives, has introduced the Interstate Milk Freedom Act of 2024. I just reintroduced the Interstate Milk Freedom Act. The bill prevents the federal government from interfering with the interstate traffic of raw milk product between states where distribution or sale of such product is already legal. Yes, they're interfering with everything we do. And believe me, they're going to go after milk just as though they're going after beef, just as though they're going after turkey and chicken, because they're out to destroy our food supply. Have no doubt. Meanwhile, 7 out of 10 Europeans say governments are allowing too much immigration. Yeah, welcome to the party. Actually, immigration has been going on there in Europe on a massive scale far longer than here in the United States. A survey encompassing all 27 countries in the EU found that most citizens believe their countries are taking in too many foreign migrants. The poll conducted by BVA Case Excite for ARTE Europe Weekly, a project led by the French-German TV channel ARTE, has found that 71% say there's too much unchecked immigration. The survey also discovered 85% of respondents believe governments need to do more to combat irregular, meaning illegal, migration. Only 39% said they believe Europe needs more migrants coming from elsewhere. Yes, well, the majority's got it right. Meanwhile, the occupation comes home. Hi, this is Mark Barthes. Here we have a report from Max Blumenthal.
Masson definitely came at a momentous time. It's very different from when I was on campus during the peak of American hegemonic unipolarity during the 1990s at the University of Pennsylvania. I think my classmate was Ivanka Trump. Don Jr. might have been there too. And I remember my first campus protest. I went down on Locust Walk to the center of UPenn, and everyone was there. Everyone, they were outraged, but they were kind of standing around. They didn't know how to protest. Like, all the normies were there. And I said, what happened? Why is everyone so angry? I've never seen a protest in all my years here. I was like a senior. They said they banned beer on campus. So that was, I mean, the one time I saw a line around the block for a speaker at UPenn, it was for Warren Buffett. That's, you know, that's what university administrators became accustomed to over the years. There were no problems. There was no friction. There was no criticism. And that's what they want you to be. They want you to go back to that time. They don't know. They don't understand the era that we're living through right now, the administrators. They don't know Manu Shafiq, the chancellor here. They don't know what they've walked into. They don't have a sense of history like you do. And so they expected you to put conformity before your conscience. And
that's, of course, a great mistake, putting conformity before conscience. Meanwhile, Bill Burr clowns Bill Maher.
Let's move on to Bill Burr, who was on Club Random with Bill Maher. And they obviously, why not, got into a conversation about the pro-Palestinian demonstrations on campuses around the country. Lest you think we weren't watching Aaron Rodgers on Joe Rogan or on Tucker Carlson's show yesterday, he did weigh in on the Cuba policy of Alan Dulles, and accurately, by the way, that was a historic first. I think the first former Green Bay Packers quarterback to go after Alan Dulles, triumph for him. So the podcast universe is thriving, and Bill Burr is a part of that wonderful ecosystem. And Bill Maher, this went pretty viral. I think got kind of owned by Bill Burr here. Let's take a watch.
You don't realize that college campuses erupted with the kids demonstrating for Hamas? They are in with the terrorists?
Oh, they were for the Palestinians.
Well, it's sort of the same cause. Why, are you?
I'm on the side of the kids.
Yeah, that's easy to say. You know, no one wants to see kids dead. This is a war.
That was very brave of you to say.
This is a war. No, I'm the one who was actually brave on this.
Pat yourself on the back.
It's easy to say I'm for the kids. Who's not for the kids?
Well,
it comes down to real hard-nosed decisions. Like
no, a country. Stop talking like you're a general.
A country got attacked. Israel got attacked.
I'm not saying that they didn't have a right to go back. I'm just sitting there going like, how do I look at what?
The only country in the world that they get attacked, and then as soon as they counterattack, it's like, well, we got to stop this shit now. Don't attack them. There's a very simple solution to all this problem in the Middle East. Stop attacking Israel.
Hey, you
stop
just
stop attacking
it.
Israel.
You just
I did.
Solved it.
I actually
there
did.
There you go. That's fantastic.
Anyway.
All right.
We don't need to get onto
to,
that.
Let's go to Russia and the Ukraine. How do you solve that one, Bill? Let me hear your hard-nosed decision about that.
I mean, what an anal aperture, Bill Maher. Just don't attack Israel and everything will be fine. The whole damn 7 October was arranged. That was a false flag. It was made or allowed to happen by Israel to have a justification for the slaughter of Palestinians. But it's been grossly disproportional. It's been massive and ongoing. They're out to kill them all. Bill Maher must have his head where the sun doesn't shine to be making such a stupid, ignorant remark as that. I am infuriated. Meanwhile, another accident. Another barge collides, in this case, with a bridge in Texas, resulting in its collapse. You're beginning to get the feeling this is going to happen again and again. As crews continue shifting through the wreckage of the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore, several other bridges have been hit by container ships in a series of incidents that spark speculation the U.S. infrastructure is under attack. The latest incident in Galveston, Texas, was reported by Fox. A large barge crashed into the Pelican Island Bridge in Texas Wednesday, causing a section of the bridge, including railroad tracks, to smash down onto the barge. Officials say there were no reports of injuries in the collision that occurred around 10 a.m. However, Galveston County Judge Mark Henry said two crew members went overboard but were recovered from the water. Meanwhile, here we have a final story for today. Covert weapons not getting enough attention. This is from a tweet. This is not getting enough attention. Gregory Ed Green, former USA intelligence professor, admits the USA has used undisclosed weapons on its own citizens. There is no entry or exit wounds, makes the victims feel like they're crazy. Of course, the mainstream media never show you this. They join too many dots. Here we have a report on Twitter.
Your assessments here are correct. These are very covert weapons, aren't they? They don't leave behind bomb fragments, bullet holes, etc. They could absolutely be used by our adversaries and have very low levels of, very easy to deny that they were even there, that they were used. Is that correct?
That's correct. There's no entry or exit wound. How they're designed is to make the target feel like they're crazy, like they're imagining things, especially on the low duration, the low intensity, long duration hits.
guys also said that these attacks are happening right here in this city. Is that correct?
I mean, there have been some that have gone public with respect to Washington, D.C.
I think it was Mr. Grozev said you spoke to a Russian agent who said that they believe that Americans are using these same weapons on them. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Might that have something to do with part of the CIA's motive to cover up the existence of this tech and these weapons?
That is a very logical possibility.
Well, that's just the latest of one of many types of weapons the United States is using. These are psychotronic, obviously, to cause you to have disturbing thought patterns that make you think you've lost your mind. And in a way, you have temporarily, because it's been seized and controlled by a device outside of your body. We'll be right back and we'll take your calls.
Did you know the IRS publicly admits that income tax is collected by voluntary compliance? Get the information you need to help you avoid income tax with these 5 easy steps. All you have to do is go to avoidincometax.com to get your 5 easy steps on how to avoid the IRS income tax. Escape the IRS. Let avoidincometax.com help you. We guarantee our 5 easy steps or your money back. Go to avoidincometax.com.
Hey, do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the ones in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, or fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you'll see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Check us out at SusannahSecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S, Secret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S, Secret.com.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Welcome to the second hour of Authentic News right here on RBN Live, the 16th day of May 2024, where I take your calls. Most of our lines are open. I especially encourage first-time callers to take advantage of the opportunity. Call in and share your thoughts. First up, Cynthia in California. Cynthia, what's on your mind today?
Well, there's an expose on where the billions of dollars Donald J. Trump got for his Too Social. And it includes Coutts Bank, which is the bank of the British monarch. Okay. And they note all the investors. And then they also noted his attorney had ties to a group that actually had connections with the British court. So can I name the name of that organization that has that expose?
Of course. Go for it. Yeah. Lay it out.
AIM for Truth, with the letter 4, A-I-M for truth.org. And they posted this on May 6th.
Am I mistaken, or is this same for truth? Isn't it? It's a couple, I think, who run a site that they claim is exposing propaganda. Am I wrong? Do you know more about Aim for Truth?
Yes, yes, I do. I've been dealing. That's the Gabriels, and also Michael T. McKibben. They have been putting together the behind the scenes information that is so hard to research, and they have a lot of researchers who, like your collaborators with No One Died at Sandy Hook, they remain anonymous. So it's actually a large group of people, but the front people that you see are the Gabriels. And they primarily post on Gab also as Gabriel's Horn. But they have Aim for Truth and Patriots for Truth. And McKibben has Americans for Innovation.
No, I take it, Cynthia, you're endorsing Aim for Truth as a reliable source.
I think they're reliable, and I encourage people to try to disprove that, right? Because if we're being misled, we'd like to know. And Michael T. McKibben has legal documents from his case where his patent attorney had connections with the Department of Defense and stole his software, which his company spent $10 million inventing that software, which was stolen to become Facebook and a lot of other social media companies. And they put in back doors so they could do surveillance. And he says he would never, ever have allowed it to be licensed with back doors like that. So I'm just saying that they've collaborated because of the amount of theft of Americans' property and privacy. And if Donald J. Trump has connections to the British monarch and is getting money from them, well, I think people need to know.
Cynthia, I'm far more concerned with his ties to Israel than I am to the UK. But, I mean, you raise an interesting
possibility.
Yeah. Let me make one more comment. Cynthia, let me make one more comment and then invite your reply. You said in passing, like, my sources on Sandy Hook are anonymous?
Am I wrong?
Yeah, 100% wrong. Everyone in the chapter. Hang on a minute. Everyone who has a chapter in the book, Nobody Died at Sandy Hook, and you can presently download the redacted edition for free. You can find it on my blog at jameshfetzer.org. Scroll down the front page of the article, Fake News, The Truth versus Alex Jones, and you can now download the redacted edition of Nobody Died at Sandy Hook. I took out the three sentences from the book over which I was sued, and also a memorandum for POTUS, actually then President Donald Trump. I co-edited with Robert David Steele, where they sued me over one sentence there. So I removed that. And in particular, in that memorandum, there are like 31 different essays. Every one of them is identified by the author. There's even a photo and bio sketch there. And in every contributor to my book, and there are 13 contributors, including six PhDs, they have a contributors page with their biographical sketches, very substantial paragraphs. So I'm not at all sure why do you think any of my sources on Sandy Hook were anonymous. Can you reply?
Well, I am mistaken then, because my reviewing of that issue was a long time ago, and I didn't know Robert David Steele was in on that. I was in contact with him, and he offered to let me write, but I didn't actually have a blog to post on his site, and so I demurred. I appreciate you correcting me. I greatly do. But I believe that these people have people that would get into trouble if they revealed all the sources that they use to find their information.
Not only
not
that.
Not everybody's capable of standing up to the kind of pressure you've had to stand up to.
Not only that, Cynthia, but I've been in contact for over 2 years with members of the Sandy Hook community who were cast in roles in the drill, two of whom are supposed to be dead, but are very much alive and well, because in fact, nobody died at Sandy Hook, as we concluded in the book. When her name is Margaret Alice Cottle, she was cast as Emily Parker, the little girl whose purported father, actually her uncle Robbie Parker, came out and was all jovial joking until he saw the crowd assembled. Then he hyperventilated to get into character and began talking about the loss of his daughter Emily the day before, but had the presence of mind to mention her donation website. And Victoria Relio, who's actually the daughter of the town clerk for Newtown, who was cast in the role of Victoria Soto, a teacher who's supposed to have given her life for her students. They've even named a race after Victoria Soto. And then Cynthia, she was recast as Eva Morales, a teacher down in Uvalde, for which she was paid $210,000 just to reprise her role. I mean, this is there's a lot of money involved in all this. In fact, Eric Holder came down to Newtown in 2006 and offered the community $114 million to participate in the hoax.
I've been encouraging you to look at the George Floyd hoax. Some of the actors from other false flags showed up. At least one of them showed up in there. And no one seemed to recognize that the person in the video putting his knee on the George Floyd torso, which was a dummy, actually was not the same man that stood trial.
Yeah.
At least in the public.
You're right.
The same man.
I've done multiple.
I would encourage you to put together one on that, because the left needs to be slapped in the face with their ignorance and stupidity.
Cynthia, I've been there, done that. I reported on George Floyd hoax. You can go all the way back to 2020. I have had four false flag and conspiracy conferences in December, four consecutive years, beginning in 2000.
I tried to find the picture that you said you had on your site, which was the stretcher being wheeled around with an obviously a dummy torso with nothing for legs underneath that sheet. And that came from Live Leak. I tried to post that on Hal Turner's site one night years ago, and every time I tried, something faded on the internet. I tried for two hours.
Well, believe me, but you can see it. If you go to my blog and at the top of the menu bar, look under events, and you got the four false flag and conspiracy conferences. Go down to the first for 2020. And when I made several presentations there. One was entitled Deception Galore. Deception Galore. And he talked about use of body doubles by Hillary, Biden, outing Michelle, but also the false flags. Jesse Smollett, George Floyd, and Bubba Wallace. They were all phony, all totally fake. And you'll find that little clip with the, the stretcher moving off where it's got no legs and it's clearly the dummy torso. It's right in there, Cynthia. That was in 2020.
We need to make that into posters.
Yep. You got it. Anything else you'd like to add, Cynthia?
Rumor has it that that lady from Hawaii, who was with American Intelligence and was in the, she was a, let me get back to you on that one. I may have the name wrong.
That's fine, Cynthia. Thanks. Okay. Thanks for the call. Hey, we got Bubba Reb from Colorado. Join us. Bubba, once again, go ahead.
You're a thug on 13 Bubba Scout, Reb. We're all doing this for the military, and it's working. Those playbacks aren't working. There's a link on the internet to the Bubba Scout Reb 2-hour show under Bubba Scout Reb. And when you go to the click on it, it won't play. Somebody's interfering with the archives of Republic Broadcast. They don't want, this is working, but not for the public. People who call in, they're Woodstock freaks. I said, how did you expect them to understand? We even did a flow chart. Woodstock freaks. Jonesville freaks. This is all real, but it has a flow chart just like false flags. Then you have Hare Krishna and you have Jesus freaks. It all lines up. And the arithmetic shows, wait, why don't you just put that Woodstock freak 55 years later on August 16th, it'll be the 55th. Nothing's changed. That's who's listening in. It's the same jerk. And so that was pointed out to us. Oh, by the way, Bubba looked into that Sandy Hook. The gun they claimed did it was locked in the trunk of the car. The one that the Guinea said that. The one they claimed, this is an assault rifle, but it was locked in the trunk of the car. It was never even taken out. It was found locked in the trunk of the car. So it never was used.
Actually, but, Reb, yeah. Actually, the weapon that was in the trunk was a shotgun. And I believe that it was actually used to blow out the front window at the front of the school where they claimed he made entry. But all the furniture inside is unmoved and the glass isn't ground into the floor. And Wolfgang Helbig has affidavits from some dozen Connecticut State Police who claim they entered that way. But it's just ridiculous. Those are all false affidavits because the Connecticut State Police were running the show behind the scene, Bubba. It's that bad. It's that bad.
Yeah, that's what Bubba said. And she said the next week, the same one who was dead was sitting on the president's lap. And that's the same group that phoned us, the National Rifle Association, Wayne LaPerriere, that same year that he wants UN troops out of America. So when we called the Institute of Legislative Action, you called the right people. And then they told us drop dead and the F word to Whitey. The NRA. And at the end of the year, that same jerk, Wayne LaPerriere, with more guineas in the schools. He was ranting and raving about more UN troops. So he's a liar.
Actually,
these are all United Nations proxies.
Actually,
that was set up before that thing even started. So
the little girl who was sitting on Obama's lap was not Emily Parker. It was one of her supposed sisters who were actually her cousins. I explain all this in great detail. Again, if you go to that fake news, the truth versus Alex Jones, you'll find I've embedded an SGT report entitled Never Speak of This, where I explain my interaction with these Sandy Hook participants who are very much alive and well, and everything I learned from them, which had been considerable in rounding out what I knew when the book was published. And they've been very supportive of me because everyone in the community who is a participant has read and liked the book, and they felt I was being abused grossly by the courts, and they'd like me to, you know, come out of this okay. So they've been lending their support, I'm glad to say, but you can even see a whole lot of what I've gathered from them and photographs of them. If you go to SGT report, never speak of this. So you can do that just independently. You don't have to go to my blog. That's right out there on the internet.
It's tough because, like I said, there was a 2-hour program, Vote Scout Rev, on Republic Broadcast Network. And you can go to that site and click on it, but it won't play. It won't play the broadcast. And
I'll make an inquiry about that and see if we can't get it to play. Okay, I'm on it.
In the archives, this is working. But social media, when it was put together for us, I said, "What do you want? That we're antisocial, but we got on the internet, but it was for the military. So this is working for the. It's not working for the people who call in. I don't know what he's saying. You're not supposed to." We did the flow chart. You're not going to ever be included. And the people who we have as observers, those are Hmong people. Look that up. These, like, because they, this person, bang, bang. Those are the Hmong. They work. BC number 10, those people. Special Forces Operations worked with those people. Those are the ones who shrunk the head of the Viet Cong, put them on sticks. Sometimes they get ambushed and they're dead. And things like that happen. With air cavalry regiments, they put people on in a forward helicopter, one of those attack. We know about this. And they say, here's what happens at this point. Say you're having PTO problems, rotor, drop out of formation here. Get back to, drop them off, get back to formation with your whole regiment there and do the operation. This never took place. They paint people up. So we know about this even before these false flags, how they operate. When they don't want you to know, and when they do want you to know, we we got evidence. So there's the difference. If we only go by the evidence. That's why this is at the Joint Chiefs and the Judge Advocate General. So this military operation, what you were involved in, sounds a lot like those Saad groups. But this is not South Asia. This is happening here. And the Ho Chi Minh Trail is coming up at us. That's why we talk this up. And it's working, not with the public, but with the military. I keep saying that. So people say, we don't understand him. Yeah, that's the point. Look at our flow chart. And we're good at arithmetic. We're not mathematicians. But we could see, why don't you just put Woodstock Freak Show and leave it at that? Because your flow chart goes all the way up to here, and it doesn't improve. And this was 55 years ago. Look that up. Right on acid, all wet. It's a free concert, man. No, it wasn't. And look what the result is 55 years later. Right. Generations of this breaks. That's what you got here. And they still don't get it. They still don't. It's still an acid freak. Yeah, thanks again, everybody.
Remind everyone where they can learn more about your efforts, your website.
Well, that Vulture Squadron's being redone for the military. I can't explain right now. We want other people to call. Comment on Bubba Scout Rep. Thanks a lot.
You got it. And I'll see if we can get that video to play for you. Susie in Arizona, we're going to hit a break. Susie, I'm going to carry you over. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi. I just wanted to put in some information from a wiki page on Donald Trump's awards.
Sure.
And they include 9 of 33 from Israeli or Jewish awards. And the last one in 2022 includes the ZOA, Zionists of America, Theodore Herzl Gold Medal Medallion, its highest honor. And in 1976, he got a humanitarian award by the National Jewish Hospital. In 1983, he got Tree of Life, which I've seen him be very proud of.
We're hitting a break, and I want to hear him all. We'll be right back.
Anybody's helping anyway. But now these days are gone, I'm not so self-assured. Now I find a change of mind, I'll open up the door.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email proudsouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
I'm so excited to have you as part of the Wild Pastures family, and we look forward to bringing you the pasture-raised meats that you and your family will love. Now, we started Wild Pastures because so many of my clients would tell me they just couldn't find high-quality pasture-raised meats, and even when they did, it was so expensive that they couldn't afford to eat it regularly. Now, I'm not talking about the bottom-of-the-barrel healthy meats that have claims like natural or free-range or even cage-free, terms that were actually created by the industrial food industry to make us feel all warm and fuzzy about buying their low quality products. I'm talking about truly nourishing pasture-raised meats. the kind that you'll never really find in a grocery store. Our farmers are doing things beyond organic. Our beef is 100% grass-fed and grass-finished and raised on pastures free from chemicals and other pesticides. Our chickens are 100% pasture-raised, where they get their natural diet of grass and forage and insects. We will never settle for free range, which is actually one of the most deceptive terms in the chicken industry. In fact, less than 0.1% of the chicken consumed in the United States is truly pasture-raised in the way that ours is. And our pork is 100% pasture-raised as well. So if you care about where your food comes from, then you have definitely made it to the right place. As a Wild Pastures member, you'll be supporting the most highly principled farmers in America and getting the most nutrient-dense, nourishing, and sustainable meats in the world. I'm confident you'll love being part of our mission at Wild Pastures, and you will really love the delicious, nourishing meats that we're going to deliver straight to your door.
Visit republicbroadcasting.org and click the Wild Pastures banner ad. Secure a shipment today. Beef, poultry, and pork raised the way nature intended.
Well, Susie, yes, I like what you're doing and going through these awards that Trump received. And now many of them are from Jewish or Zionist organizations. I'm pretty much to the conclusion that Trump may not just be a Zionist. I think he may actually be a Jew. And we have the, therefore, it would appear that we have a choice between three Zionist candidates, except the Biden, who's outspokenly as a Zionist, RFK Jr. and Trump, but I don't expect Biden to actually be in the ticket. I think he's going to be replaced by most likely Gavin Newsom and Michelle Obama in the not too distant future. Now, they're both totally unworthy, except as Democrat candidates, because the Democrat Party is scraping the bottom of the barrel, and that's what they've come up with. Tell us more about what you've discovered about Trump and his awards.
Yes, well, and I am from California, a native of California, and I see Newsom. I've watched him for several years, so it would not surprise me because he's a little token for the Democrat Party.
You know, Susie, they seem to have lost 20 billion dollars that was allocated to help the homeless in California. No one can figure out where it's gone. I'm also native Californian, Susie. I was born in Pasadena. I graduated from South Pasadena High School.
You know, Pasadena for me is my favorite area because I lived in Los Angeles for over 30 years, and to me, Pasadena is the best place in Los Angeles.
Yeah, it was wonderful. And when I was growing up, I mean, look, I graduated from South Pass High School in 1958. And Susie, at that time, California was just a glorious place to live. It was really wonderful.
It was great up until about 2017. And Eric Garcetti destroyed. Eric Garcetti was 2 years or two terms on city council and two terms as mayor. Destroyed.
What were his primary moves that were so destructive, Susie?
You know, I think that part of it was accepting homeless as what it is. And, you know, I'm sorry for what happens to people, and I want to see people helped, but it's not, that did not happen under Garcetti. It just got worse. Plus, Garcetti did increase the Agenda 21 of concentration of building. So what happened with Garcetti under, as when he was city council, he increased the density. And I worked in the film industry, so I saw it. What I saw, because I was all over Los Angeles, what I saw is a major impact of increased density.
Yeah.
And that.
Hey, listen. I like what you're doing with your research on Trump's awards. When I said I thought perhaps he's even a Jew, do you also suspect that he's actually Jewish?
I would not be surprised.
Because I think some of those awards are only given to people who are.
Well, especially when he goes back to 1976 and 1983.
Yeah.
You know, it's before he was in politics.
Yeah, tell us more about the awards, Susie. This is a very interesting aspect.
So there's a Friends of Zion Award in 2017. It's the Friends of Zion Museum. The Temple Court Temple Coin featuring Trump in 2018. The Trump Heights in Golan Heights, Israel. And I heard this from now former friends because I requested I did not want to partake in division, and because I would not partake in backing Israel, I became the worst anti-Semite they knew. And I kept saying, you're playing into, you know, the division. And I don't want to participate in the division. And I got accused of being the worst Semite. So friends that were Jewish are no longer.
Listen, Susie, if you can, go back over your awards and see if any of them specifically have conditions that say this award may only be given to Jews. I would like to know that.
I don't have. I'm listing it off of the wiki. I did not get into that.
To bear in mind, Wikipedia's a Zionist op. You know, they edit all the politics to make it come out the way they want. Yeah. I've had multiple encounters trying to correct the record. Yeah.
But it is listing what he received. The latest one was from 2022, and it was Trump receives the Zionist of America Theodore Herzl Gold Medal Medallion.
Susie, great call. Call again with further new information. We'll be right back.
Republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects.
Email Tom at republicbroadcasting.org, T-O-M at republicbroadcasting.org.
Hi, Tom Bolton for Ease Off. I know so many of you are finding our Easy 4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products.
First are right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next are beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames, eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Next caller, John in Michigan. Welcome back, John.
Hello, Jim. Thanks for taking my call again. A couple of things came up even while I was listening. When you talk about Connecticut, they don't have any sheriffs in Connecticut. I don't know if your audience knows that. The state police are the only ones that are in charge there. And so it was a very easy opportunity for them to get away with what you have exposed.
I think that's right, John. They abolished the office of sheriff in Connecticut, and I think you're exactly right. Go on.
Well, a state police officer is a federal officer. It have nothing to do with the state, if you go back in their founding. And then when we talk about the border, in 2005, Bush Jr. signed a treaty with the president of Mexico and the premier of Canada to eliminate the border at the southern border of the United States. So that's never been rescinded and never been implemented, but that is what's been taking place. They built a bridge in Detroit. It's to be tied in with all of the other highways that are connected to Mexico and supposedly they were going to build a large port on the western side of Mexico. And in Kansas City, they designated land there for a customs office, a Mexican customs office. And another point that might be considered is that any road that goes over any water belongs to the UN, according to some of their agreements and treaties, the Agenda 21. Up here in northern Michigan, they tried to implement a countywide wetlands ordinance, and we traced it back to the UN. That's when John Stadtmiller came up here 2 years in a row to help us expose it. There was another thought, too, with if you're talking about Trump, I think he has relatives in Scotland. Is that something that you're aware of, too, or no?
Go ahead, John. Tell us more.
Well, if he's Jewish, if his mother has any Ashkenazi, that makes him in the bloodline. And that is something that might be factoring into some of his addressing all of these these groups that are very just horrific. I also would like to bring up Lahaina again. No one's talking about Lahaina and what's going on there. And then you talk about Tulsi Gabbard. Well, she's not doing anything either for Lahaina, and that's where she represented. So we have to just take a step back and see what they've done before.
Disturbing. That is disturbing, John, that Tulsi represented Lahaina and has done nothing about it. That bothers me a lot.
And it's off the, no one talks about it anymore either. It's a done deal. And that goes back to BlackRock because they have interest in Ukraine. They have interest in Gaza. These people are heathens. They came from the area of Ukraine, the Khazarians, and they were told to give them that property by the Rothschilds. If anything that comes out of England, it's coming from the Rothschilds. If it comes out of the Vatican, it's coming from the Rothschilds. And that they were allowed to go in there and just annihilate these Palestinians and take their land with nobody interfering. And all the Ashkenazis over here were sending them billions of dollars every year so that they were able to do that. And that's just horrendous in itself when you have all of these veterans that are homeless and all of these communities that are just so desperate for improvements. But we give it to Israel. And then they're laughing all the way to the bank. And then I also blame all of these pastors, ministers, priests, everybody at the pulpit that hasn't been exposing this because they've been manipulated through the World Council of Churches, and they still have a grip on all of these people in their flock. And it's just it's going to be hard to get them to see the light with the exposure there. But I think I sent you a couple of things too through by email, Jim. About the Pope, I think, and also some of the other issues that you bring with the.
I'll look for him, John. Yeah, go ahead. Give us a final thought, John.
Well, it all comes down to education. I'm going to be going to a commission council meeting today to expose the fact that these agencies, these health agencies, give these shots to parents because the parents think they need them to go to for their children to go to school, and they don't advise them of the fact that it was a mandate that was told me by a nurse up here in the 90s in a school board meeting. I went to 4 years of school board meetings trying to expose the garbage that Engler, our governor, brought in here, and she said, "Oh, it's a mandate." And I asked her what that was, and she goes, "Well, it's tied to funding. If we don't have 95% compliance, then they cut off the funding." So it had nothing to do with the health of children, but these parents are told by the schools and also these health agencies in your neighborhood that are giving out these free shots, they're causing all sorts of destructive damage to these children, and it's not necessary. And these parents, most of them can't afford to pay for their shots, so they go there to get their health, taken care of, or their issues taken care of, and then these shots, they're just so toxic. And these physicians are the same way because they get paid off by Blue Cross, and if they have so many, just think a 2-year-old has 60 shots. I had one shot when it was the polio shot, and that was it. I didn't.
Yeah.
And now they're getting, this has to be exposed. The education system too has to be exposed. That's why. We have all these school board members are dumbed down. All these council members are dumbed down. The lawyers, everyone's been dumbed down. I'm an advocate for the children. We had a nurse, a head of their four counties health board. She made all these children put masks on all through the school year. No science, nothing was published in the Federal Register. And that's where my argument comes down to. The Federal Register is there for a reason, to control these rogue agencies. And so everyone has to start looking at these agencies and see if they have done that proper duty.
John, I always appreciate your calls. You're delivering a message with a lot of impact. Thank you for the call once again.
Thank you, too.
Pasadena's
fabulous. I've been there a couple of times. It was. I'll put it that way.
Thanks, John. Sammy in Las Vegas joined the conversation. Welcome back, Sammy.
Hi, Professor. Those awards, I tried to look and I couldn't find if you had to be Jewish or not. But did you know in 2015, do you know who Sheldon Adelson is?
Yeah, sure.
He owns the Venetian here in Las Vegas. He owns casinos in China.
Yeah.
I mean, he's worth like $260 billion.
Right.
In 2015, Sheldon Adelson gave Donald Trump $150 million for his campaign.
Yeah.
Now, if he is such a billionaire, why would he need it? Why would he need $150 from Sheldon Adelson? But anyway, it comes with a catch. Sheldon Adelson wanted he wanted Trump to be in. In 2020, he died before the 2020 election. Now his wife is in charge of everything, and she didn't like Trump that much because of his womanizing. And I think they cut off a little money in 20, and that hurt him. But
Sammy, just to respond to the 150 million. People like Trump are wealthy based on their assets, property, all kinds of holdings that aren't readily convertible into cash. So he may be worth a fabulous sum, but that doesn't mean he had a lot of cash available for a conduct a campaign. Now that's where Sheldon comes in. He's running these casinos and all that. He's got a lot of money that he can get his hands on that's straight cash. So he gave the money to Trump so Trump wouldn't have to convert any of his holdings, his properties in order to do it. I mean, I think that's readily explainable. But I would say, you know, since Sheldon Adelson is, you know, big fan of Zionist candidates, the overwhelming majority of whom are Jewish, I think we have just another line of argument that Trump is almost certainly Jewish. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. It could be. I just wanted to throw that in because the other lady was talking about it. But what I really called about, did you see the meeting that President Xi and the president of Russia had? You know, the president of Russia is in China right now.
Is he? Putin's in China? Yeah. Tell us about it, Sammy.
And they're working out this agreement where right now China and Russia are selling to each other with their own money, not using the dollar.
Right.
They're down to 90. This is what they were talking about in their meeting. Right now, all of their transactions, 90% of them are being used without the dollar, and they hope to bring it down to zero. This is what I'm really worried about, Professor. They are literally killing the dollar.
Well, of course they are, because Biden stupidly cut him out of SWIFT. See, most all these punishments, these sanctions on Russia made it impossible for Russia to operate in terms of the Western currency dollar-dominated system. We forced them to do this, and Sammy, you're 100% correct. It's going to destroy the value of the dollar. The consequences of our own stupendously stupid policies toward Russia have brought this about. You're spot on, Sammy. I just want to explain. We did this to ourselves.
And another thing I think that Sheldon Adelson really wanted was for Trump to put in his son-in-law.
You mean Jared Kushner?
Jared Kushner? I think Jared Kushner was actually the president. He was running everything. Trump was all day. They said he never read his daily reports. He didn't do this. Jared was in charge of all that. All Trump was doing is still doing the same old routine, going on Sean Hannity and going here, going there all day, doing speeches all day. He was really, I think Jared was actually the president. And then as soon as he's out of office, Saudi Arabia gives Jared $2 billion. Come on, does that sound right?
Fascinating. And as Jared is the de facto president, had benefited Saudi Arabia so enormously, they felt they should give him a tip, a $2 billion tip. Sammy, that really speaks volumes.
To Saudi Arabia, that is just a tip. That ain't no real money to them. But you know, you know who controls them. And when BB would come to the U.S., when he comes to the USA, he stays at Jared's home in New Jersey and sleeps in Jared's bedroom. Did you know that? That's easy to hook up.
I think I heard that sometime back, but I'm glad to be reminded. That's fascinating.
So
I think that Jared Ivanka marriage is very strange. I mean, Ivanka, what a babe. Jared is so pedestrian. I think it was done with pheromones, that they gave Ivanka pheromones to fall in love with Jared to make it happen. I think Jared is actually Mo Saad. That's my opinion, Sammy.
Oh, he'll admit it. He'll admit that he's a proud Zionist.
But I'm saying Mo Saad.
Yeah, he could be. But thanks for listening to me, Professor.
I love your calls, Sammy. I look forward to the next. Charles,
appreciate it, Professor. Have a great day.
You too, Sammy, and a great weekend. Charles in St. Petersburg. Join the conversation, Charles. Have we got you there, Charles? Are you there?
Charles? Yeah. Can you hear me, Dr. Fester?
Yes, I can. I can now, Charles. You go right ahead. Speak.
Yeah. About Trump being Jewish, check with Henry Mackow.
Yeah.
You're familiar with the Canadian Jew that's... It's very...
I've interviewed Henry before, Charles. I have a very high opinion of Henry. Go ahead.
Yeah, he, in one of the things that last year or the year before, it was on the Truth Seeker, reprinted in the Truth Seeker. It was, he stated one of the family lines is definitely Jewish, you know, but I don't know if he is a cloud on his mother's side, but. I think they're Highland Scotch, but he evidently he does have some Jew, and if you believe Henry Mackow, he talked about the genealogy of Trump, and getting the award from the Tree of Life, that in the Kabbalah the Tree of Life represents the Kabbalistic tree, and in the future. In the age of Aquarius, the seventh age, the tree will be reversed. The tree of death, which is now the root of the tree of life, will be reversed, and the devil will have more power than Jehovah. So it fits right in, you know, with an award, a Kabbalistic award for Trump.
Yes. Charles, that's a good addition to the discussion. And I'm sure I can turn up Henry Mackow's column where he talks about Trump and his Jewish roots. I think his mother may have been Jewish, which would be decisive. Continue, Charles.
Well, I was gonna say that one time I was corresponding with Henry Mackow about a book by Rabbi Trachtenberg is written in 1943 or printed in 1943. It's called The Devil and the Jews, and where he kind of claims, Rabbi Trachtenberg claims to be spoofing the idea of satanic being, but there's a lot of admitted in the book. Rabbi Trachtenberg, and I noted this to Henry Mackow, and he wrote back, he was interested the fact that 800 years ago during the Mongol invasions of Europe, the people then were already talking about red Jews in the East. they seem to first been able to psychically see 800 years into the future, and Macau noted that I was right. It'd be interesting if Rabbi Trachtenberg notes that they connected red and
Charles, I'll see if I can follow up with Henry Macau on Trump and his Jewish roots. Thank you for an excellent call, Charles.
Have a good day.
You too. John in Colorado, join the conversation, John.
Yeah, hey, Professor Fetzer. Good show. You talk about education. Just listening to the callers and the information they put out is just fabulous. You know, I try to follow it, how they do it, they go about it, and it comes out that it's really good. The things about Trump, now you listen, it's not surprising anymore. I still question why they keep all this indictments and they keep, you know, going to try him and all that. If they're going to do it, get it over. If it's set up like that, just to make it look like, you know, he's wrongly done, which he probably is in some cases, it makes people want to. More and more, they're going to vote for him. So that's fine. But listening to all what people have said about the past and all this, and what, you know, he's given all these awards and that is like I said, not surprising. I mean, I've been reading about this from all these publications on the alternative for since the early 70s, and I've just followed this for years and years and years up to American Free Press and the Barnes Review. And I find out stuff I'm not going to get anywhere else. I don't, my family, you know, they have no clue what's going on. I don't want to argue with them, but I leave them there. You know, just, you know, what are you going to do? You're going to find out, and it's going to come down on you. One day you're going to wake up and be surprised. There's nothing there. Your freedom is going to go. Your money's going to go. And what are you going to do? So. That's one of the things, but I just like all the things, even more things I learned sent in California, what things she brought out. That's really good. Thanks for doing that. And what you bring, you know, you're constantly, you've got all the stuff you published over the years and, you know, the sites, you know, and, you know, how they act, you know, how it'd be surprising, you know, you can still access those and they don't take them away from you, but it goes in and out, but it's, thank you. It's, you know, great to have all that stuff. And, you know, I even Rebel from Colorado, he sounds like, you know, he's throwing stuff in your face, but he may be correct. He just sounds a little, you know, weird at times, but, you know, could be military. They're involved in this too. I've got other sites that even former RBN people that have other shows and other things come up with this kind of stuff that comes out. It's happening, but, you know, why isn't, like I said, if they're doing this, why don't they just take it all out, take Biden away and all that? You know, is it just a cover for agendas, whatever? It's, you just have to get into it, listen to it. So appreciate, you know, your show on that, all the others.
Excellent.
Sorry, keep going.
No, I was just going to say, excellent call, John, and I appreciate, all my books on JFK, I have four, you know, bringing together groups of experts. I believe they're all still available, three on Amazon. I think only maybe Kindle, but, I mean, they're out there. And then I have, of course, two on 9/11. They're both out there. And my latest on JFK and on 9/11, both available at moonrockbooks.com. But, I'm glad, John, and it has a payoff here because when it's relevant, I mean, I've been there, done that, and brought together experts, you know, to sort these things out. So I appreciate your observations about what's going on here.
Let me bring up one quick thing. I'll get off. In my retirement community, there's a club that's conservative, and they talking about stuff, and some people that live with me, I know they're Jewish. And all of a sudden she brings up a picture, points at it. And it's her, her cousin. And who's he with? Benjamin Netanyahu. I didn't react, you know, like to say, what, with a murder and all that. I don't want to get in a big thing like that. And I was leaving. The club puts up their thing with an American flag next to it. We support Israel. Well, that finished me with that club.
Yeah.
Anyway, Jim, thanks a lot. Keep up the good
John,
work. Talk to you later.
Yeah. Much appreciated. Much appreciated. Great call, John. Alexander, you got just a minute or two. Go ahead. Squeeze in some thoughts. Alexander, Canada.
Yes, hi. So I just want to make a couple of points. So you mentioned earlier that the United States gave Israel $300 billion up until now. You see, sir, I think it's a lot more than that. Like according to what I've read, it's like $500 billion, which is like half a trillion.
Yeah.
And also, sir, when the Jews get the money, they send the money back to America. Like it's the perfect money laundry operation.
Yes.
And that money never gets taxed or
I think they use it to buy our own politicians, Alexander. They use American taxpayer dollars to buy American politicians so they'll benefit Israel rather than the American people. Yeah.
And see, so another thing people should know that Israel has the same economy as South Korea. See, Israel is just like one point below Japan in all of Asia. So Israel is a very rich country. So, it's not about the money with the Jews. It's about more money. Like, that's the new saying now.
Yeah.
More money.
Yeah, they can't have enough of our money, Alexander. You're right. Yeah,
and they never appreciate anything that when you help them. And Caesar, on top of all that, Israel killed Americans, spy on Americans, Jonathan Pollard, and September 11th, which you documented.
Glad you got it in there, Alexander. I'm glad you got it in there. Everyone, I want you to have a wonderful week, and I want you to spend as much time with your family, your friends, and people you love and care about, because we do not know how much time we have left. And support RBN. See you on Monday. Have a good one.